May I speak in the name of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. When you think about the environmental crisis and the effects of climate change, I wonder what first comes to mind. We may well think of the rapid melting of glaciers, which is happening at such an alarming rate here in Switzerland. Or we may think of soaring temperatures, droughts, fires, and floods. Perhaps we may think of the pollution of the oceans and the suffering of fish and animals, or lament the destruction of forests and the many animal, bird, and plant species that are threatened by extinction. Forests and seas, birds, fish, plants, animals, and insects are all affected by the damage to the environment and the polluting of the atmosphere caused by human activity. But so, of course, are people. And some people are affected much more than others. There is a cruel injustice in the way that environmental destruction and climate change affects the peoples of the world. This injustice may not be the first thing that comes to mind when we think of the environmental crisis, but it is a stark reality nevertheless, and something we need to reflect on. Last Sunday, I mentioned the terrible floods in Pakistan and the widespread misery, suffering, and death that they have caused. Pakistan is particularly susceptible to the effects of climate change because changes in temperature can mean more intense monsoon rains. And this year, Pakistan had 190% more rain than the summer average. But in addition, and I didn't realise this till recently, the northern region of Pakistan is sometimes referred to as the third pole because it contains more glacial ice than anywhere else in the world outside of the polar regions. So the alarming rate of melting glacial ice is therefore a very, very serious threat to the country. However, although Pakistan may be particularly susceptible to the effects of climate change, it contributes less than 1% of the global greenhouse gases that warm our planet. There is clearly a shocking injustice here. As the climate impact scientist Fahad Saeed said recently in a BBC interview, the people with the smallest carbon footprints are suffering the most. The victims are living in mud homes with hardly any resources, and they have contributed virtually nothing to climate change. There is an indisputable injustice in our world when it comes to the effects of climate change. Well, of course, injustice in our world is not new. There have always been injustices of various kinds, and the poor have always suffered the most. This is something that God cares about and calls us to care about too. Earlier in our service, we heard in our reading from the Old Testament some fiery words from the prophet Amos. Amos is not a comfortable read. He is very uncompromising as he raises issues of social justice and care for the poor. He does not mince his words when he warns against self-indulgence. In one startling passage, he calls the rich women of Bashan, "you cows of Bashan," as they maintain a very extravagant lifestyle at the expense of the poor. He portrays God as a God who is passionate about justice, who says that praise and worship are unacceptable if they are not accompanied by justice and righteousness. In the passage we heard this morning, Amos warns those who trample on the needy and bring to ruin the poor of the land. The injustices in this case are seen in crooked market practices. The wealthy charge exorbitant prices for poor quality goods. People are treated like commodities, and money is considered of higher value than people, as the wealthy buy the poor and the needy
for a pair of sandals.
All this will have serious consequences, says the Lord. Shall not the land tremble on this account, and everyone mourn who lives in it, and all of it rise like the Nile, and be tossed about and sink again like the Nile of Egypt? The people and even the land will suffer. So what does all this have to say to us? Well, hopefully none of us are involved in crooked market practices or treating other people as commodities. We may not consider that we have an extravagant lifestyle, but nevertheless we are all rich in comparison with the majority of the peoples of the world. And unintentionally though it may be, our lifestyles and actions have contributed and continue to contribute to the rapidly accelerating global warming, which has such terrible consequences, especially for the poorest people of our world. Now, of course, we know all that, but it's so awfully overwhelming. We may end up feeling depressed, hopeless, and powerless. What can we do? Well, before I suggest any practical steps we can take, I want to draw out from our other readings this morning two underlying attitudes which may help us, help motivate us to change our behaviour. Firstly, our reading from 1 Timothy reminds us of the need to widen our horizons. We are urged here to pray for everyone, for all people, because God's grace in Christ is for all, and God wants everyone to enter into the fullness of life Jesus offers. All and everyone is emphasized and repeated throughout this passage many times. We are to pray for leaders and governments who set policies which affect millions of people. We are surely also to pray for those most affected by poverty and environmental degradation, and even to pray for those who carelessly destroy the environment and oppress others. But our prayer needs to go hand in hand with our actions. As we pray, perhaps we can also seek to consider how our lives and our decisions affect others, even those the other side of the world. Human beings are all created in the image of God, as we have been reflecting over these last few Sundays. And the God who created us is a God of relationship, and he calls us into relationship with him and with one another. We are created in the image of God, the Trinity, the three in one, God who is a community within himself, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So if we're created in this God, in his image, then we are only fully a person in relationship to others. I'm reminded of Desmond Tutu's words as he draws inspiration from the African concept of Ubuntu. Desmond Tutu says this: a person is a person through other persons. It is not, I think, therefore I am. It is rather, I am human because I belong, I participate, I share. Desmond Tutu stresses the interdependence of all humanity. Rather than simply seeking our own personal gain, we are called to live together in our shared home, the earth. If we're all interconnected, then what happens to people the other side of the world should matter to us. We need to remember that what we do in our own personal lives has an impact on others, even in far distant places. So the first underlying attitude which may stir our practical actions is to widen our horizons, to pray for all people, and to remember our interconnectedness with others when we make decisions about our personal lives and lifestyles. So that's the first underlying attitude. The second underlying attitude raised by our gospel reading this morning concerns our attitude to money. The parable of the dishonest manager is a very puzzling one, and I haven't got time to go into it in detail this morning. It's striking to note that the dishonest manager is commended for his shrewdness, not for his dishonesty, but for his shrewdness. And maybe we do need a certain amount of shrewdness and thinking out of the box in tackling the problems of climate change. But the main point Jesus makes in this passage is clear. No slave can serve two masters, for a slave will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. Well, we may all want to protest. Of course we don't serve money. It is not our master. But it is worth asking ourselves how much we are motivated by money and how easy or difficult it is to give it away. In relation to our care for the environment, of course, money is key. Are we prepared to use our money in the service of God and other people rather than simply our own interests? Now, I believe that putting together the widening of our horizons, remembering that all people are loved by God, that we are interconnected with people in other parts of the world, and the concern how we use our money to honour God and serve others, if we bring those two attitudes together, that can help motivate us to make changes in our behaviour. It is undoubtedly true that many of the actions we can take which help to reduce the effects of climate change will cost us more money. For example, taking the train rather than the plane whenever we can. If it's unavoidable to fly, then putting money in an offsetting carbon emission scheme. Considering eating no or very little meat. Buying goods that are fairly traded and environmentally sustainable. Donating money to support projects which help the poorest people in our world. The shocking injustice in our world in relation to climate change is clearly evident. The poorest in our world have contributed the least to the causes of climate change, and they are suffering the most from its consequences. Our God is a God of justice, and he calls us to be concerned about this and do whatever we can, small as our actions may be, to rectify this injustice. After our service today, Louise is going to be talking about a project she's launched about climate change. It involves older generations apologising to younger generations amongst their families and friends for the actions they've taken or not taken that have contributed to the effects of climate change. The idea of this is not to make us feel guilty or to apportion blame, but to motivate us to take responsibility and to encourage the old and the young to act together, to work together for a more just world. So I hope that you will stay after the service and listen to Louise's talk and think about what we can do as a response to that. Our God is a God of justice, and we are called to be a people of justice. So let us try to widen our horizons, to pray for people everywhere, to reflect on the ways our actions and lifestyles affect others around the world. And let us also consider how we use our money in the service of God, for the protection of the environment, and to build a fairer world. Amen.